Hey folks, welcome to Older and Wiser. I'm Bob Bates in Los Angeles. Guess who's in Northern California with me, as always? Susan Sikora. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Are you cleaning? Are you cleaning?
We're going to talk about that.
Yeah, I saw that.
We had a survey this week about the frequency with which people clean the house and the amount of cleaning that people do. Mm-hmm. And I'm a little shocked by this. We're going to hold off on that. We're going to do that a little bit later, but it's kind of ridiculous how much cleaning people seem to be doing.
Yes, it is. I agree.
Yes, it is. Okay, yeah. We'll have those statistics for you in just a few minutes. Let's get started today with our first story. New study reveals patients uncertain about dental care during COVID-19.
I hear you.
No big surprise. Mm-hmm. I just went to the dentist for the first time in over a year because I wasn't going to the dentist during the pandemic. No. But I got my vaccine. I got my second dose of the vaccine. And I took my ratty old teeth in to the dentist.
Your ratty old teeth.
And I covered my eyes and said, what could be wrong? Well, there's plenty wrong, as it turns out. Yeah, wow. I got lots of work ahead.
You should have stayed home.
Am I sorry that I didn't go to the dentist for over a year? No. I think it was the right thing to do. 71% of people report that they are uncomfortable visiting their dentist during COVID-19. And only 42% of Americans are confident that their dentist is prepared to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in their office.
I've been AWOL from the dentist as well. And actually, I've been AWOL from the dentist for a while, but I get my teeth cleaned twice a year, and I go to where I had some oral surgery years ago. So she does a very thorough cleaning, and we have it twice a year. I had some gum work or whatever. No, it was a periodontist.
But you haven't been there for over a year.
But I haven't been there over a year. However, I will say this, and I'm not saying that this is necessarily going to save me if there's something going on that I don't know about, but I have been, because I'm home, and I would think people should figure this out. I've been home and I've been brushing my teeth more than twice a day.
Oh, that's good.
And I also use that water flosser.
I have one of those as well. Yeah.
And, you know, most people, if they use it after the novelty wears off, you use it once, maybe at night, and it's like, it's late, I'm too tired, I'll do it.
But you're good at it. You do it all the time.
I do.
The feeling of that pulsing water.
I think, you know what it is? I think to myself, this is keeping what's ever under my gums out of there.
Yeah, well, your hygienist is going to look at your teeth and go, look what a good job you did.
Let me tell you something about this. I'm not promoting this. You're going to think people are going to think she's always talking about Trader Joe's and now she's talking about water flossers.
And air poppers. You've got an air popper, you've got a water flosser.
If you see me outside of Trader Joe's selling air poppers and water flossers, you'll know something's up. I'm serious. I think when I went last time, when I started using this water flosser, and I really like it because it doesn't plug in. You charge it, and then, you know, it's all contained. My hygienist said to me, your gums are toned.
All right. Toned. Enough of the bragging about the teeth.
Yeah, I know.
Here's my problem with going to the dentist, and it has been these poor people. You got to hand it to them. They've continued to serve people during this pandemic, but you physically cannot treat them without a person removing his or her mask. That mask has got to be off. And in any sort of dental procedure, there's aerosol spray of toxic, you know, human saliva like everywhere. So how do the hygienists and the dentists protect themselves from that? Does this mask and shield thing, it doesn't seem enough.
Well, I would think the shield would do a lot of good, but I don't know. I mean, can it get in on the top of the shield or the bottom of the shield? Maybe.
Yeah, you would think with so much. Mm-hmm. And I will say I overheard the girl at the front desk saying to someone else, yeah, several of us have had COVID.
You know. I know.
That doesn't help to hear that, you know. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. So, I mean, you're too close. The proximity is there. What you're doing is you constantly, like you said, have your mouth open. So
you're practically breathing on each other. The dentist has to be so close. Their breath is almost on you, too.
That's right.
So, yeah, I don't know how a mask is going to prevent that kind of up-close contact. I don't know.
And I also have to make sure that I don't have a mask here, but if this were a mask, let's say, okay, and if something hurts, they have to hear me say stop, okay? I want to make sure it's not like, stop!
Exactly. You want to make sure they can hear you. So you belt it out. Good.
I mean, I have white knuckles in the dental chair anyway. So this was a good excuse for me. But I have to say, I knew, because when you put things off, something could be festering. And if you don't, at least you got to do what you can in maintenance.
You got to do it. You got to do it. 43% of Americans have either delayed a dental checkup, a needed dental procedure, or developed a new dental issue during the social distancing period. That's me. I've developed more than one new dental issue.
Well, if you sit there and eat a bag of Milky Ways.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, I love my sugar.
Yes, don't we all?
And it's really hard, especially when you're in lockdown, to not eat things that you shouldn't be eating.
And the answer for that, the tooth fairy, my self-appointed tooth fairy today, is take water at least and rinse your mouth if you can't brush your teeth. But, you know, if you're home, there's no reason. Walk into the bathroom and, brush your teeth and floss.
So anyway, I'll be spending a few bucks on the teeth in the next month or so.
Sorry to hear that.
I'd rather do that than have gotten COVID from my dentist. I'm just saying.
I agree.
You gotta hand it to them. They're brave. They're frontline workers. Interestingly, they weren't right at the front of the line though. Dentists had to wait a little while before they could get vaccine. Which I thought, come on, you guys are there. They deserve it as much as anybody.
Trust me when I tell you. But for all these things you're saying, these noble gestures from the dental team, you will see that in the bill.
You
will be compensating them for all of that. So
they showed me the treatment plan and
that's never a good treatment plan.
No. There's a treatment plan. That's bad. And it's a multi-line thing. There's more than one phase, too.
I'm sure. Listen, I hate the idea of addressing anything medical at the end of all this, because since I haven't taken care of things along the way, and I'm not one to run to the doctor for every little thing. As I said, I go and I get my teeth cleaned twice a year, and if there's something going on, then I hit the dentist. But I'm careful about it. It's expensive. I got to watch that. But also, I'm very preventive at home. I'm one of these people that bought Prevention Magazine for years.
Yeah, you're one of those. Okay. Yeah. Next item, here's the headline. Survey reveals 1 in 3 employees working from home say they will quit if they're asked to return to the office. The survey was provided to us from radio.com. Interesting. When everybody had to get locked down, we were all like moaning and groaning that we had to work from home. Turns out a lot of people are really enjoying the whole thing.
Yes. You know why? You know what this is about?
Well, you're closer to the kitchen.
That's one thing. Okay.
No commute.
You better be closer to your water closet. The other thing is no commute. Okay. So you're saving on the gas. You're saving on the wear and tear on the car. You can start whatever time you want. You have to probably keep some semblance of a schedule if you have an amount of work to get done by a certain time and you're getting that salary. However, I think this is about the sweatpants and the no-bra and
the
slippers.
You only have to wear clothes from the waist up.
Yeah. That's right. And if you're not meeting with anybody and you're just doing something at home that you don't have to meet with, guess what? You don't have to put makeup on. Women are saving on lipstick. All of this stuff, it's like stuff that you... Now you're aware of all the things you did, all the work you did before you got to work.
And if you're really struggling, you're not quite ready for the big presentation, you can just go, oh my goodness, I'm having a bad connection. I can't connect to the internet today. And you're off the hook.
And then I heard about, there were some people, I would think this is very few in number, but there were some teachers who were teaching their classes from like the beach in Hawaii or something.
Well, and I just heard something on NPR the other day about people who during the pandemic have moved to other states because it's either They literally bought a new house in another state, didn't tell their bosses, because the bosses can't tell from the Zoom where they're calling in from.
Right.
They kept their job going for the whole year, and they weren't even living in the same state anymore.
Right. And guess what? You know, there's wasted time on the job, even though you're
a
on the job.
A lot of wasted time.
And they realize that.
When you and I worked together at that television station in San Francisco, I know I wasted a lot of time, you know, in the lunchroom and
I worked myself to the bone every minute.
You did not. You barely came in.
That's not true. I was there all the time. People would say to me in the building, "Why are you still here? You did the show. Go home and do your notes." I got that in San Francisco, and I got it from other people not on the show in Boston as well.
It was still a 4-hour day, so not that hard.
Well, it was. I'm going to tell you something.
No, you did do your homework.
I did my homework, and I still do to this day. Yes,
yeah,
I do.
No, that's absolutely true.
I do. I like to be prepared.
I'm just kidding. This survey was done by Wisetail, and this organization polled 2,000 Americans, and 39% of them said they'd rather take a pay cut than return to the office, which is an interesting option. Maybe if you don't want to come to the office, you propose a pay cut to your boss and mm-hmm. say, "Tell you what, I'll take a little less money if you want to let me stay here at home."
You know what? I can only speak for what I hear about in places like San Francisco, because the rents and housing costs are so high here. There are people who, even if they took a pay cut, would do better if they could work from home and move elsewhere, because, especially if you're a young family starting out, it's very hard unless you have not only a great job that you love, well, whether you love it or not, if you've got a great job and it's paying well, it could go away.
Yes.
They might find a way, or a robot or something, to replace you. And you know what? Your mortgage is still your mortgage, and you're stuck with that house that you maybe bought too much of when you just got the new job and you thought, "Hey, I'm on a roll."
I would think for a lot of people, a lot of workers, this has proven to companies that they can work anywhere. So it opens up the job market for you a little bit too. You know, you can apply to a job in Connecticut, depending on the kind of work that you do.
Yeah, depending.
And they can literally hire you to work from your home in L.A. You don't have to work within 15 miles of home anymore.
Look at TV. Look at what we used to do. You look at talk shows like The View. All those women are still in their own spaces.
They're literally at home.
Right. Yes. I mean, they figured out how to, somebody, not them, probably, figured out how to make the background look exactly like the studio. They probably took a shot, put it up there. You know that better than I. It probably doesn't take more than a couple of clicks with the right person.
Right.
So it looks like they're there. All you have to do is work out the fact of who talks first. And if they get into something and they overtalk, then it drives them crazy and they say, go to a break.
And you miss the engagement with the audience. And there's live. I mean, that's a very hard thing to capture or to manufacture that
energy
40, that happens live in a studio.
40 little squares of people clapping. Then all of a sudden it's an abrupt stop.
I know, it's not quite.
it's not a flow into here she is and a flow out of here. You know, I mean, they can do something with sound, but we all know that those people are probably either pre-recorded or not there.
Yeah. All right, this next study reveals just how much Americans have cleaned in the past year. This comes to us from RedTree.com. Here's what they're saying. Pre-pandemic, now this study makes me crazy. Pre-pandemic, Americans say they spend an average of 5 hours and 37 minutes per week cleaning. This was before the pandemic.
Who are these people?
Americans have now added a whopping 3 hours and 12 minutes per week to this number, meaning that it's like people are telling them that they're cleaning the house 8 hours a week. Kind of.
First of all, can I tell you something? I'm not one of those Americans, as you may have guessed already. Okay. Secondly, I don't think this happens on that. I mean, if you've got somebody coming, if you've got out of town relatives coming, they're going to stay with you, then you're cleaning your hiney off.
Sure. Yeah. You might.
Oh my God.
Spend
you know,
day.
Grab the comment. But you know what? Unless you're Martha Stewart, and you know what's funny? You know, when you sent me the notes, I don't know. Don't ask me why. I get a daily thing from Martha Stewart. I don't remember how I clicked onto it. I find her fascinating. I don't clean with Martha.
Martha emails you every day, kind of.
I get her newsletter. Martha's not emailing me personally, okay? But she said, yeah, and today, you know what it was after I got your email about today's podcast? Today was how to deep clean your house. Oh my God. It's like another pandemic. Listen.
Listen, could this be people, you know, look, we're older and wiser, but what about the people who are
and dirtier?
Younger? What about people with families? Maybe they do have to clean a lot because there's a lot more mess. They're constantly picking up messes from their children.
That's different, okay? Straightening up and cleaning are two different things.
Well, no, I mean, they may have to mop the floor every day because it's messier. Listen,
if you drop something, if you spill orange juice in the kitchen, you mop it up right then and there.
We'll set aside the veracity, the validity of these numbers, but and just look at what this poll is also trying to say, and that is that during the pandemic, people have been cleaning more, is basically it. And there's some logic to that in that you know, we've all become more aware of our own personal cleanliness and the cleanliness of our spaces. We're concerned about the coronavirus, of course.
Yes.
Apparently, they also surveyed people asking them what spaces in their homes do they consider the dirtiest. Tell me first what you consider the dirtiest places in your home.
I don't have dirty places. I floss my teeth. I do my homework.
You just don't clean the
house. No, you know what?
Where's all the dirt?
The kitchen, only because every time you make a meal, you you have some kind of trash, or like I do make coffee. I do like my fresh brewed coffee.
This survey says that people believe that the dirtiest spots in their homes are the knobs in their kitchen. 44% said that. The kitchen towels, 18% said that, which I think is true. I stopped using regular kitchen towels. We went to paper towels exclusively.
So you're killing trees.
When the pandemic came, I put paper towels in the bathrooms. We stopped using the communal bath towels.
Yeah.
At least temporarily. We'll go back once we get a handle on the coronavirus.
That might make sense, yeah.
The dirtiest areas of the home, the survey revealed, Americans also ranked kitchen sponges.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Bathroom faucet handles. And I would my first thought would have been the toilet. I would have thought the toilet
Everybody thinks
the dirt goes.
Yeah.
Lot of people say it's worse around your bathroom sink. Mm-hmm. And I know so many people who leave their toothbrushes like right out on the bathroom sink, and apparently that's the worst place for your toothbrush.
Well, also because, and you've probably read this somewhere too, because it's not a secret, that when you flush the toilet, tiny little particles, much like the coronavirus, can splash into the atmosphere. So thing, when I read that, I thought, first thing you do before you flush the toilet, put the seat down.
Oh, very good idea.
And I would like to, because you're a guy. Exactly.
No, you want to look. You want to look and make sure it's all going down.
You can look after it flushes and the flush is done. Pick up the lid and say, yes, all gone. Okay, that's fine.
You got to see it live. I don't want a before and after. I want to see it live. I want to see it swirl.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. You want to explore that with some help.
Yeah, no, it's important. No, I think a lot of people like to see, first of all, they're proud of what they've done. They want to see that to start. And then they want to see it go down so that they know it's gone and out.
Well, and let me tell you, if you're the one that's in charge of cleaning the toilet, as most women, if there's a man and a woman living together, I'm guessing a lot of times still, a lot of this stuff still falls on the female. It shouldn't by now.
Yeah,
but
a lot
it
of
does.
It depends on whoever's the most fastidious, I think.
Yes.
Male or female. If it's the female who's more fastidious, then she's going to be the one that cleans
the toilet. I do clean the toilet often just because I think it's a smart thing to do. Mm-hmm. And the more you do these things, the less grody the task.
You get more used to it. Yeah. It's kind of like picking up the dog poo. I couldn't stomach the idea of picking up the dog poo, and then you do it enough, and then You kind of get used to it.
Well, not only that, I don't have one right now because Benson went to heaven. But oh boy, do I miss him. But at any rate, when he was here, I have to say, I scooped his box so often. He never went in a dirty box. Never.
Yeah, that's okay. Never. Don't get me started on that because that's insanity. You just, the cats can poo a little and leave their, you don't have to clean it every single time.
Well, then you'd better open the windows.
Just saying. The other thing that's gross is cleaning up cat vomit as well.
Yeah.
If you have to clean that up.
Yeah.
But the first time you do it, you just want to throw up, but then you get used to it. And kids, if you have kids, have all their own gross things that you have to clean up. And, that you get used to that after a period of time. All right. So we're all living in our own filth. So let's move on to our final subject of the day. The number one food Americans say they can't live without, according to this new survey.
Ooh.
This was published in bestlifeonline.com.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you know what it is.
I read it and I didn't guess it because it's not really.
Well, let's start with what you would have guessed was the one food that most people couldn't live without. What would you have thought it would be?
You know, I don't know. I'm not sure. I know so many people who eat so differently. You know, I've got a goddaughter who's totally vegan. I'm almost vegan. I don't know. And I tend to like Italian food. So my favorite, I know what my favorite is and the one I can't live without.
Okay.
Pasta.
The item that most Americans say they can't live without is actually a kind of pasta, macaroni, and mm-hmm. cheese. Mac mm-hmm. and cheese.
Mac
kind
and
of
cheese.
The combo there.
Yeah.
45% said they cannot live without mac and cheese. I can't remember the last time I've had mac and cheese, honestly.
Mine was in the fall. The mac and cheese, you know.
I mean, you don't want to eat too much cheese for obvious reasons. You know, you don't want to eat too much pasta for obvious reasons. So, but you put the two together, it is pretty good. I wonder if people, if they're referring to that boxed Kraft macaroni and cheese.
I'm sure that's what it is.
Yeah.
And, you know, my husband Skip used to love it. And he'd make a box of that. And the reason I'd have a little, I'd say, oh, can I have a little bit? You know, that kind of thing. And he'd say, why don't you have some?
It's cheesy and it's salty.
Delicious.
But I suspect looking at
the ingredients.
Yeah. No, I suspect looking at these responses from people about the foods that they can't live without, I'm guessing that many of them are young people. But here's the list. Let me tell you what's here. Peanut butter, 17% said they couldn't live without that.
Okay, wait. Stop right there.
I love peanut
butter, but I got myself into the just peanut butter. Nothing added. No
salt,
no sugar.
It's not that bad for you, honestly. Peanut butter is
no. It's actually pretty good. It's actually a good protein source, but it can be fattening if you have too much because it's also oily.
20% said they couldn't live without a hamburger. I haven't had a hamburger in a while.
I haven't either.
Again, fast food options. Again, this feels like it's skewing young. 32% said any kind of cheese. We all love cheese.
I love cheese.
35% said what you said, pasta. 35% said bacon. You know,
I love bacon. I don't eat it.
I like it. It's terrible for you. We know we can't.
Yeah.
So as a result of, I've been living without bacon for kind of a long time. So
I'm alive.
I'm okay. I survived it. So
if your cholesterol tends to be high, bacon is not your first choice.
Yeah. Okay, here's the one that I would have said. I cannot live without bread or bread products.
I agree.
Crackers, cookies, bread itself, anything that's a carbohydrate crunchy, I got to eat that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'd eat all day.
Fresh bread is great. There's nothing like fresh bread. Whether you make it fresh, I haven't baked bread in years, but I mean, you can get a good loaf of bread pretty fresh in Northern California, almost anywhere. Yeah.
37% of people said that milk is the thing that they can't live without.
Oh, I can live without milk.
I can live without milk.
Yeah. Not ice cream.
I do love ice cream. I could live without it. I love it. There's things I love, but I could live without.
Yeah.
Pizza. I can totally live without pizza.
I can't live without pizza.
Really?
I told you I skew Italian. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, I love pizza.
What's
vegetarian.
Your favorite?
Vegetarian. Actually, there's one I love, and there's only one place I know that you can get it. And I'm sure other people have it. It's roasted garlic and clams.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Ooh, yeah, it's good. Amici's makes it in San Rafael.
Oh,
and but that's the only place I can get it, and it's hard to find. But I
what
have
about frozen pizzas. Do you like any of those?
You know, I never did. I was kind of a frozen pizza snob.
Yeah.
And then I tried a few at TJ's.
Don't say it.
I know. They have some that are they're a little different. They're almost like a French bread. They're very thin. They're... One is a brie and tomatoes, which is really good.
All right, we're out of time. Once again, Susan, what's your final thought for the day?
More flossing, less cleaning.
More flossing, less cleaning.
Less cleaning, yes.
All right, folks, thanks for joining us for all the stuff that matters when you're 50 plus. Visit us at olderandwiser.com, and we'll see you next time. See you later, Susan.
So long.